Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host. Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost soul of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are here Monday through to Friday from 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Saturdays from 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everyone, all are welcome to come in fellowship with us. We are no respecter. God is no respecter person, so we give everybody the opportunity to come and hear their thoughts. We are excited and we are delighted to be here this morning because we could have been somewhere else. But God kept us in the midst of the storm. We are going to listen to some worship music as the Lord gives us direction. We're going to play some worship music for the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about Jesus prayed. This is the message today. Jesus prayed. Amen. Glory to God. So sit back and relax. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for this day. Thank you for all that you have done for us, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. In the mighty name of Jesus, pray.
Thank you.
Just like we take our gospel for granted, we're going to be us to obey to God. Okay. He does not treat us as our sin deserve. So that means that even in our imperfection, God still loves us with his grace and mercy. That's why I don't want people to get confused with praise and a little different than the Lord gives them. See, you got to learn how to praise him because of who he is.
Hallelujah. You deserve my praise. You deserve my glory. No one deserves it but you, Lord. Because you're the one that went to the cross. You're the one who laid down your life. You're the one who said, I will. You're the one who came and went back. So we thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning. Lord Jesus, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Oh, Father, we just thank you for giving your only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We pray this morning that the Lord Jesus would speak to us and that he would speak through us. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are already rejoicing and we are glad because he has given us a new day, a day that we have never seen before and a day that we will surely never see again. Today we want to talk to you about the hour has come. He prays. The hour has come, he prays. And a lot of times we're thinking about things going on in our lives and in our family lives and our friends, on our jobs, or in our homes. A lot of things are going on, but we fail to pray. We look at it like it's the end. We tell ourselves it's the end. All this stuff is going on right now, and we don't know how to overcome. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to appreciate it, that maybe it's God showing us some things that are to come and that some things that are happening right now. We just don't know how to deal with it. But the Bible says when the hour came, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. It said that he prayed. Jesus prayed. Glory to God. Here in the book of John chapter 17, he said, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. Jesus realized that the time had come for him to depart from this earth. He didn't look at man. He didn't look at mankind, let's say it this way. But he looked to the Father. He looked to the Father for answers, and he asked the Father to glorify him, separate him. This is what he's saying, that he might give back glory to the Father. Jesus continued to talk to the Father. For you have given him, talking about himself, authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. Jesus talking to him, to his Father, about himself. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Jesus says there's no other way. Many people are saying that there are many ways to the Father. But Jesus says there's only one way to know eternal life. And that is to know the true God, meaning that there are other gods. I don't believe that he would have said to know the true God if there wasn't other gods. There are other fake gods or phony gods. But there's only one true God. Jesus says this is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. In other words, there's no other way to the Father, to know the Father, to know the true and living God, but through Jesus Christ, the one who came. He said, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Ask yourself, are you doing the work that the Father has given to you to do? Are you doing what mankind wants you to do? What your bishop, what your apostle, what your evangelist, what your pastor, what your teacher wants you to do? You said you are falling the order of the house. You said you are following the order of the house, but is the order of the house the order of God? Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, now, Father, bring me into the glory we share before the world began. Bring me into the oneness that we had. This is what Jesus is saying. Bring me into the oneness that we had before the world began. It's right there in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, the living Word. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from the world, from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. See, you can't come to the Father. We cannot come to the Father except through Jesus. And the Father have to give you to Jesus. A lot of people say they don't want Jesus. You know why they don't want Jesus? Because the Father have not given them to Jesus. They belongs to the devil in doing what the devil called them to do. What the devil has chosen them to do. All that he has given them to do, they're doing the devil work. And they have right out and blatantly rejected Jesus. To tell you with their mouth. He says, now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. Do you know this? That everything that Jesus have is a gift from God. If you are a preacher, you are a gift from God to Jesus. He said, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you. And they believe you sent me. Who are you believing in? Who are you believing in? Do you believe in the word that the Lord Jesus has spoken to your heart? That he is the Son of God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because it belongs to you. Jesus is not praying for the world. He's praying for the ones that the Father has given to him. He has given you the message for you to carry forth. What message are you releasing? What message are you holding on to? Jesus is speaking. He said, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, past tense, because they belong to you. The Father gave them to Jesus, but Jesus says they belong to the Father. Do you hear that? Because he and the Father is one. All who are mine belongs to you. If you get this, I'm telling you something. If you get this, your life will never be the same. Jesus says, all who are mine belongs to you. And you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Hallelujah. Your main objective here in this earth realm is to bring glory to the Savior. That's what your objective too. Your lifestyle should bring glory. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Your lifestyle should bring glory to Jesus. Now I am departing from the world, and they are staying in the world. But I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are united. That is verse 11. Jesus wants us to be united. But he wants to be united in the power of the Most High. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for this destruction, as the scriptures foretold, talking about Judas. Hallelujah. Not the devil. He's talking about Judas. Not one was lost. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in the world, so they will be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. See, Jesus is praying for those that the Father has given to him. Some people say he's praying for the disciples, but not for the disciples alone. You'll see this in this prayer. Praise. When you are going through, when we are going through, what do? We get fearful. You know, we get anxious. We want to throw in the towel. We're not willing to do anything else because we feel like everything is falling apart on us. But what did Jesus do? He knew death was knocking at the door. He knew that they would come and take him to the judgment hall. He knew that they would judge him wrongfully, rightfully, because he had to give his life in order to save your life and my life. But what did he do? The Bible says he prays. This is what we got to do. We need to pray. In this book of John chapter 17, the Bible says, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, Jesus says, but to keep them safe. Jesus wants you and I to be safe while we are in this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Verses 17 in the King James Version says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You see, Jesus received a commission from the Father to go and save, to seek and to save that which is lost. And those of us who have been called, have been chosen, been handpicked out of the pit of hell to be in the light of God, he has given us an assignment. And the assignment is to go and tell, go and share the truth of his word. Hallelujah. He asked the Father to sanctify them, to make them holy. He said, And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them. Go back to verse 18. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Jesus is sending them, sending us. This is not just for the apostles or the disciples. This is for us. We are supposed to go and share the gospel, live the gospel, be the gospel. He says, verse 19, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through thy truth. See, Jesus separated, he is separated himself. Hallelujah. We have to be separated. We have to be sanctified. We have to be able to be seen as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Now he says, glory to God. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See, Jesus is looking at a bigger picture than most people look at. He is seeing the big picture. He is seeing that many of mankind will be saved because of your lifestyle, because of the word that we preach and teach. But we find today that so many leaders are watering down the gospel. We find that so many leaders are speaking a gospel that make the people happy. Name it and claim it. Prosperity message. If you have faith, you can have anything you want. But what about holiness? What about righteousness? What about leading people out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus? Did not tell you this. Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. See, the glory, the anointing, the glue that holds us together, Jesus has given to us that we can be one. This is the anointing from heaven, the oil. Hallelujah, the holy oil that make us recognize that we are one, that we are not enemies. We are not fighting with each other. We only have one enemy. His name is Satan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I in them and them in me, that they may be made perfect in us, in one, excuse me, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. Listen, let's read that again, verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in me, in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. See, the Father loves us, the ones who call upon Jesus in repentance, the same way he loved Jesus. I want you to know that. Jesus says, Father, I will that they also who thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus began to have this deep prayer, this deep conversation with the Father on behalf of the saints that call upon his name in repentance, not just the disciples. He is crying out to the Father for you and I, for all of us, that we stand in the light and not fall back into the darkness of sin. And his desire was that we would be with him and that we would experience his glory, the very glory that he had with the Father in the beginning. He says to the Father, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name. And we declare it that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John, go over to John chapter 15. As the Father hath loved me, verse 9, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 10 and 16. John 10 and 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father, of my Father. Jesus speaks with boldness. 17 and 5. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. Jesus called out to the Father to glorify him with himself. We need to be glorified with Jesus. We need to become one with Jesus. As Jesus is one with the Father, this is what we ought to be desiring. The hour has come, he prays. John chapter 17, verse 1 to 26. Jesus spoke this prayer in such a prophetic, anointed way to the Father as he intercedes for the disciples, and for the world, for those that are lost. Because he said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He said he laid down his life. No one took it from him. He laid down his life that he might take it up again. He said he had power to lay it down, and power to take it up. Stand this. Jesus' desire is to be back in the bosom of the Father, to be one which he was with the Father before the foundation of the world. This is what he desired. We ought to have the same desire to be one with Jesus. Too many preachers today are one with themselves. Other words, they are one with other preachers. They don't have a desire to be pleasing to God. They don't have a desire to do what God has called them to do. Their focus is in how long it's going to take me to be a millionaire, billionaire. How many houses can I get? How many Rolls Royces? How many cars? How many jets? How many yachts can I have? How many homes can I have in different countries? Because if I have a lot of homes, one in the Caribbean, one in Hawaii, one in Africa, one in America, one in Canada, one in England, if I have homes all over the world, then preachers and congregational members would respect me. They would honor me. They would say that I am a great preacher because I have homes all over the world. I have cars and lots of cars. You understand? I have yachts. I have jets. I have all this stuff is what they desire. But Jesus said very plainly, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? You see, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter how much you have. Look at Bishop Long. He had millions of dollars. But when the time had come for him to leave this world, he couldn't take anything out of here. He took his sick body out of here. Okay, that's what he did. He took his sick body out of this world, lying to the people that he didn't have this or didn't have that. Mark chapter 8, 34 to 38. We just took John chapter 17, verse 1 to 26. A park for you to hear. It's in the recording. So you can see how Jesus, when his hour came, and it blessed me just to look at that. I teached it sometime last year, year before, that he prays. But at this time he gave me the hour has come. He prays. How Jesus, when the time come for him to be crucified, he knew that there were going to be many witnesses that was going to come against him. False witnesses was going to rise up against him. He knew this. And he was prepared. But in his preparation, what Jesus did, he had a conversation, a prayer with the Father. I'm talking about every day that I come here, I mention, because I told the Lord I'm going to give him glory through my testimony. When I was in the hospital and I was going to have heart surgery and the carotid artery clean out, the first thing I did when I went in there and saw all of those surgeons, I'll tell you, there were 13 or 14 surgeons and nurses was in there. I said, before I go under, let me pray. Let me talk to my Father first. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And they looked at me like I was silly. I said, no, because if I die, I want you all to know that I'm not afraid of death. I told them that. I said, I know my family was scared and they knew that I could die. They said, you know that I had to sign a waiver. I had to sign this special paper to release them just in case if I die. They didn't want to get a big lawsuit. You know what I'm saying? But I knew this. It was possible. You go under. I mean, you can't feel, you can't hear, you can't touch, nothing. You can't move your toes, you can't move. You're under for 6, 7, 8 hours, 9 hours. But I said, let me talk to my daddy first. See, you got to understand that if you are the light, you better be shining.
If you call yourself the light of God, you better be shining. To them, most of these pastors that you hear, and they're not shining. Oh, they can tell you, they can tell you about the Greek. They can tell you about the Hebrew, the Greek, the Latin. Oh, yes, they can talk about exercising. They can tell you all this stuff. They can tell you about the scriptures. And they'll make you feel small because you have not risen to that place of knowing so much about the Bible. But it's not about knowing so much about the Bible. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about knowing the one who gave the Bible. Having a relationship with Jesus, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost. They're one. Having a relationship with Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Tiskanu. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Emmanuel. Having a relationship with them. You have people that know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And you know, when you hear them teaching and preaching, you shut your mouth. Because you say, man, I can't go up against him. I can't go up against her because they know too much scripture. And you see they know a lot of scripture. But they don't know the author. They don't know the one who gave the word to Moses. Hallelujah. They don't know the one who gave the word to the prophets. They don't know the one who gave the word to the disciples. You may not know it all, but if you develop a relationship with Jesus and you're spending time, because if you develop a relationship with him, you're going to spend time, more time with him. You're going to get, it's just like when you meet your wife, when you meet your husband, and you are dating, you want to spend as much time because you don't know if this is the girl that you're going to marry. You don't know if this is the man that you're going to allow to marry to you. You want to spend as much time because you want to know their ways. You want to know their ups and downs. You want to know about their attitudes. You want to know everything about them. Well, when you have a relationship with Jesus, you spend time with him so he can talk to you and you can talk to him, so he can hear you and you can hear him. You want to spend a lot of time with him. These folks spend three days or 4 days or whatever writing a sermon. They got 6 or 7 pages. Because when they come to church, that's what they're doing. They're going to preach their 6 or 7 pages. But when you develop a relationship with him, you don't need any pages. It comes out of your heart. What he wants you to say comes out of your heart. Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38, he says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. He said, well, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the angel, with the holy angels. Now Jesus said, if you ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you when he come into the presence. That's the glory. He said, when he come into the presence of the Father and the angels. Can you understand that? Sometimes we get with people and we get so, the word is not even holy. Well, we get to a place where we don't want to declare that he is our Lord. He is our Savior. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't want to say anything about Jesus. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1. And verse 16, you know the scripture. Romans chapter 1 He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The word of God. Don't let nobody make you, allow you to become shameful of the word of God. Remember that the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 and pull up on scripture here. Matthew 16 and 26. Same scripture. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, for the Son of Man shall come in his glory. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angel. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Coming in his kingdom with all his glory, all his splendor. This is what Jesus is saying. We got to understand, we got to know, as I tell you before, that Jesus is returning. He said he's coming back, and that is enough for me. I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to know all the details. If he said he's coming, I believe it, and that settles it. We are trying to figure out all these things, how he's going to do it, how he's going to pierce the sky, how all this stuff. That's not for you. That's not for me to figure out. Just know that he's coming. Prepare yourself. Get your heart ready. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to protect you. Ask the Lord to shield you. Oh, God, ask the Lord to lead and guide you in every word, every step that you make. Ask God to order your steps in his word. Hallelujah. We are not perfect. People are hooping and gooping in the church. They can preach in their hoop and stuff, and people say, oh, yeah, pastor preaching good, bishop preaching good, because they're hooping. But hooping don't get you into heaven. I want you to know this. Hooping don't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is living holy. Do you hear me? What gets you into heaven is living holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is what he says. This is not what I say. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God wants us to be holy, because without holiness, no man will see God. You understand? Without holiness, you can profess many things, say many things, but if you don't get to that place where holiness becomes your number one, you're going to be left behind. I'm just telling you that. Okay, I'm not trying to get anybody afraid. I'm telling you that if we don't make holiness a priority, we are going to be left behind, because that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for your big bank account. He's not looking for your fancy car. He's not looking for your big, pretty house, picket fence that you're telling everybody that, oh, I got this nice house and all that stuff. He's not looking for that. He's looking for holiness. Holiness is of the heart, where you have reverence for God. You live in a godly way. Many people going to die and go to hell because they don't believe hell is real. And they're not going to go to heaven because they don't believe that heaven is real. But according to my Bible, heaven and hell is real. And Jesus said so. Heaven and hell is real. Regardless if you want to believe it or don't want to believe it, it is real. But I come today to tell you that Jesus knew when his hour came. And when his hour came, guess what he did? He prayed. Excuse me. It's snowing here. It's snowing here in my neighborhood. Snowing. Jesus knew when his hour came. And he prayed. He didn't run somewhere and hide. He knew the weapons that he had to use. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What weapons are we using today? We want to get a 9mm. We want to get a Uzi. We want to get a machete. All these things we want to get. And all God wants us to do, get some prayer. Get some prayer in. That's what he wants. For you and I to get some prayer in. If we would just get some prayer in, we'll begin to see some evidence of what's happening on our behalf, happening for us. But we're not spending no time with him. The time that we ought to be spending with him, we are doing a lot of different things. Hallelujah. I got people calling me, sending me messages every day from all over the world. Every day I am getting messages from all over the world. One lady sent me a message yesterday, long text message. And she said, you used to come on the line. She said she was glad that I was still alive. You know, sometimes people say stuff, but they always want to see your life. They want you dead. But I knew that I wasn't going to die. I just knew it in my spirit because I knew that God has work for me to do. And I want to fulfill his work, the work that he has assigned unto me. I want to fulfill it. I want to accomplish the work that he has already ordained for me to do. I don't want to just sit around here and act stupid. No, I want to fulfill the work. Glory to God. So I just sent him back and said, look, I'm grateful that you prayed for me and that and thank the rest of people that prayed. You know, for what? For this, I know that I was praying and I was talking to my daddy. And I knew when my daddy gave me the signal, Brother Deacon Fraser, when he gave me the signal on New Year's, Old Year's night on the 31st, I knew I couldn't. I had my tickets and everything to fly to the Caribbean, to JetBlue. I knew I couldn't go anywhere. I had to go to the hospital. The next day where everybody was celebrating, in the church, I was sitting in the hospital waiting to see surgeons. And then they couldn't do nothing for me. They had to ship me. I had to ship me by an emergency ambulance to another hospital. So I knew God had things working out for me, everything working out for me. So, you know, because I trust him. I'm not perfect. Neither are you perfect. Neither are any of us perfect. But the God that we serve, he is perfect. And he works out everything for our good and for his glory. Do you hear me? He works out everything for our good and for his glory. Trust him. What I'm telling you today, that if Jesus could know that his time, and we know that he know because he's God, he know that his time was right there. And the first thing that he did was talk to the Father. That is something that is to instruct us. Anyway, doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're dealing with, talk to the Father. Talk to the Father first. Don't call up your friend. Don't call up your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your co-worker. Call up the Father. To Father God, I'm dealing with this right now. I have this situation on my job. I have this companion that it seems like we can't get along. She's always nagging. I got this guy that I'm dating. He's always nagging. My mama, my brother, my sister. Talk to God first. My finances is all messed up, God. I can't pay my bills, Lord. I need you to help me. Make a way for me. Send job. I just got an email from somebody in a different country, and they were saying that they the light was off and that the water bill is high. You understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you're sitting by, you don't know other people are going through. They are going through because guess what? Because you are here in America, you figure, well, I got something. But there's somebody in another country that is suffering real bad. Can't even put food on the table for their children. Can't even send their kids to school because they don't have the money. Hallelujah, glory to God. But God has given you a way. Why don't you praise him? Why don't you give him praise? Why don't you say, Lord, I thank you for the hour that I'm in right now. I thank you for this hour that I'm in, Lord, that I'm not dead, but I'm alive, God. I thank you, Lord, for sending, Father, for sending your son to die on the cross. And because he died on the cross, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, I have life. Because it says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you will not be shamed. You will not experience shame. No matter who come against you. The Bible said that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinning, God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. It says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent not his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want you to know this. Jesus didn't come in here to condemn the world, but he come in the world to shed blood. Not mankind's blood, but shed his own blood. To allow mankind to pierce him, to nail him, to pierce him, to nail him, to crown him. Yeah, to spit on him, to kick him. He came in to suffer for mankind. This is what Jesus did. He came in to suffer for mankind. To give us access to the tree of life. And if you didn't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity today. Take this opportunity to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am. Very stern language. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Telling you directly who he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Make up in your mind that you can call on Jesus Christ. Tell Jesus today that you are a sinner. The Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before me. And I realize that there's only one person that can forgive my sins, that can set me free, that can put me on the path of righteousness, and that's you, Lord Jesus. So today, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I come to you today, Lord Jesus, with great expecting that you and only you can save me. Set me free, cleanse my heart from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your precious blood and make me pure. Make me whiter than snow. Even though my sins be as crimson, they shall be whiter than snow. And Jesus, I thank you today for forgiving my sins, for putting me on the right path for righteousness. I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you said that prayer, you believe it, you receive the gift of salvation. Now is your time to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell him you received the gift of salvation. You want to be baptized. You want to go down in that liquid grave. In Jesus' name, But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, because why? You want witnesses. You want witnesses to this greatest day of your life, that you have given your life to Jesus. You remember when we was going to the club? We want all our buddies to come and go to the club with us. We invite them to come because you want a witness that they see you dancing. You're doing the tris like Chubby Checker. You're doing all these different dances. The Holy Ghoul, you're doing the monkey. You know all them dances they had. Hallelujah, glory to you. You're doing the electric boogie, electric slide, all this stuff you're doing. You wanted people to see and hear and watch. But today is greater than any other day. When you give your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. We don't concern with how many people come on the line or don't come. As long as God give us a word, we're going to come on here and put a word on here. Because this is what, there's people out there that can't get out of their homes. They don't have a car, don't have a motorcycle or a bicycle, but they still have a cell phone. I said, these folk don't have anything, but they still have a phone that's working. They don't have food on the table, but they still have a phone that works. You hear me today? So I pray today that as I speak to you today, and you're going down that liquid grave in Jesus' name, that you know that you have totally given your life to him. There's no need to look back, look to the left or look to the right, but keep your eyes on the cross. Because the blood that's dripping from the cross is the blood that cleanses you and me. It's the blood that's making us whole. Jesus' blood. Now I want you to just go down there, your friends and family, co-workers to watch. And when you're coming out of that liquid grave, you're coming out in the righteousness of who Jesus said you are. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Be who God said you are. Be the one that the light of God will shine through you. That when people see you, they say, yes, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. You don't have to push your chest up. You don't have to have the Bible in your hand. But you have it in your heart. I thank God for everyone that received the gift of salvation. For those that will receive at a later date, I pray God continue to bless you and keep you until we meet again. Now, to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We pray that he continue to make us the head and not the tail, that he set us above and not beneath. And we pray, oh God, that he bless us with the finances that we can give the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans. We pray that we'll be able to build some homes for people, put food on the table for them, send children to school. We'll be able to do many things very soon because God promised to open doors for us that no one can close and close doors that no one can open. Continue to pray for Apostle Washington that her knees would be totally healed, that she wouldn't have to have any surgery. Pray for Bishop Washington that he'll continue get stronger and stronger and stronger as they preach and teach the gospel. Pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart that their ministry continue to develop and envelop in the things of Christ and continue to keep Pastor Brown and Evangelist Brown in prayer. He was preaching on the day before yesterday and glory to God, he sent me the message. He's just on fire for the Lord. You know, when you know that God is keeping you in the land of living, you don't have no choice but be on fire with him. And even if he's going to call you out this world, be on fire while you're going out, because he's a great God. He's a master. He is a King of kings and Lord of lords. We just thank God for you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives that we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Because it may be the word that you speak today that will make all the difference in somebody's life. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let your light so shine before men
that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. God bless you all. I thank you all for coming on today. Have a blessed day. We'll be here again tomorrow, but we won't be here on Thursday because Thursday I have a doctor's appointment in order to go get some information of how my body's doing. God bless you all. I thank God for you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.